Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Alvari at the VSiN Circa Studio at the South Point Sportsbook. Today we have Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds, and lots to talk about. We're talking NFL draft, NFL, NBA, you name it. Yesterday, the NFL announced some rule updates. The NFL owners approved new series of rules for the 2021 season. And some players are not exactly thrilled. One of them being Tom Brady, who thinks one NFL rule change is going to, quote, make for a lot of bad football. He took to Instagram today to say that the regulation, I mean, the issue he's specifically upset about is that he's worried that players will not know who to block now that linebackers can wear any number between 1 and 59 and defensive backs can wear any number between 1 and 49. He said, why have numbers? Just have colored jerseys. Why not wear the same number? Dumb. And he also just quote tweeted an article about this and said, I'd like to speak to a manager. So he's pretty upset. Do you agree or disagree with Brady?
I'm so sad that Tom Brady is upset. He has so much to be frustrated about in his life right now, Danielle. But look, he mentioned it there with the colored jerseys. Hey, this is what you tell your offensive lineman to do. See that guy in the opposite colored jersey? Either block him, hit him, or at least somehow get in his way so I don't get hit. I don't understand really why he's so upset about this, because this is what it is in college football. I mean, if you got a big end rusher that's 6'5", 250 pounds, that runs a 4'5", 4'6", 40, and he's wearing number one or he's wearing number 91, block him and keep him off my butt is what Tom Brady should basically be saying. So, you know, I don't really know what his gripe is here. Maybe I'm not reading enough into it like some other people are, but I don't understand.
Yeah, who are we to disagree with Tom Brady? But I don't see this as a big issue or a big deal. And it's probably not even worth a talking point, is it?
I wouldn't think so. I think, you know, Tom gets a little sore about something, and obviously the national media flock to it, so I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. There are other rule changes that I know we're going to talk about with Derek Stevens and Mike Palm in this segment coming up that have been approved by the NFL owners.
Hey, most of the calls seem to go Tom Brady's way. So not cry for him.
Okay? When an offensive player in the National Football League complains about anything, yeah, because the rules are already biased toward the offensive side. I mean, if you're a defensive player in this league, you got to play basically with one hand tied behind your back, and you're essentially handcuffed. You can't be physical at the line of scrimmage, only within that 5 yards. So they've made it a lot tougher for the defenders to play defense in the NFL.
All right, not even worth the talking point. Apologies for that. Let's move on to our NFL draft props. You can bet this on DraftKings, the exact outcome of picks 3, 4, and 5. So all combined together here, a lot of different options, a lot of handicapping going in here because you're assuming that there won't be any trades as well, or maybe you are factoring those in as well. The favorite on here is Jones, Mac Jones to go 3, Pitts to go 4, and Chase to go 5. That's plus 325. There's also Jones, Pitts, Sewell at 4-1. If you think that, you know, an offensive lineman's going to go Fields, if you think that Justin Fields is going over Mac Jones, Pitts, Chase. So there's lots of different options here. Who are your picks for 3, 4, and 5?
All right. This is a great talking point, Danielle. I'm going to go number 3. I'm going to say Mac Jones, number 3. And really where this gets tricky is at 4, because we don't know if the Falcons are going to, I don't necessarily think they're going to take Justin Fields. If they stay put, they'll probably take Kyle Pitts. But if they trade out of number 4, the team trading into 4, I think there's a good chance we'll take Fields.
Right.
So do you go Mac Jones, Fields, Penei Sewell? Or do you think the Bengals might go for Ja'Marr Chase? Right now, all the sharp money is on Mac Jones to go number 3 to the 49ers. After that's really where the mystery kind of begins.
Yeah, you could look at a couple of these maybe a little bit down the board. If Atlanta just says, okay, we're going to take the best player available, which from a board or power rating standpoint may even be Kyle Pitts, you could go Jones, Pitts, and then perhaps Ja'Marr Chase. I know Sewell is the logical pick, considering Joe Burrow in his rookie year got hurt, so you need to shore up that offensive line, but you also need some guys to throw to, so they could very well go with Ja'Marr Chase and reunite the two Bayou Bengals from LSU with Burrow and Chase. So there are some value down there, but it really is going to depend on the trade. So I would say Jones, Pitts, and Chase.
All right, I hope that the 49ers just chaos it and pick Trey Lance. We have a lot more to talk about. Stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. Hour two, we've kicked it off right here. I'm from the Circus Studio here, Danielle Alvari. We have Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds at the South Point Sportsbook. And coming up in a few short minutes, we'll get to hear from Derek Stevens and Mike Palm here in the Circus Studio. They got to boot me out for that. And later on, we'll talk to Lou Finicaro. Matt.
All right, Danielle. By the way, she's rooting against us. We have money on Mac Jones to go number three, and she's rooting for Trey Lance now. So. Typical of that theme with Danielle. She tends to root against us a lot.
Let's be a team player here, shall we? It's all about the community here. We're a team here at VSiN, a tight-knit group.
I'm going to root for you in this game tonight, Wes. You've got the Yankees against the Indians. This is one of your top baseball plays tonight, Domingo Germán. About even money. You can find a small plus price here. And is this the – we use this term a lot, buy low spot. Is this it on the Yankees with Germán against Aaron Civale of the Indians? This game in Cleveland tonight with a total of 8.
It really just might be kind of a numbers and a matchup standpoint favoring the Yankees. Mentioned that the Indians 284 in weighted on base average, which is not very good, and they don't hit righties as well as they hit lefties. Yankees 4th in the league against right-handed pitching. That's what they're going to get with Aaron Civale tonight, who is more of a pitch to contact type of guy. So this could be maybe the spot. Okay, first game in the series away from the stadium. We've been playing lousy. Civale has a 2.18 ERA, but a 3.92 on the xFIP, so almost a run and three quarters difference there. So I think some regression is coming for Civale, and I think Germán just got roughed up in that early start of the season, so that's what really inflated the numbers here. So I do like the pinstripes tonight.
All right, the Padres and Dodgers open a big series in L.A. Obviously, these teams faced off last weekend. Dodgers took 2 of 3, but hey, Wes, the Padres have dropped 5 of 6 now, each of those 5 losses by at least 2 runs, and they're going to have to start winning some of these big games. So far, the Padres have been hyped, and they've talked a good game. They haven't really played to that level. That's a 10-10 baseball team right now. Mm-hmm. The Padres are barely better than the Texas Rangers in the standings.
Yeah, nice sweep for the Brewers there on the road, it being that they were without Christian Yelich as well, and go into Petco and get a sweep. Like we were mentioning this earlier, I'd look maybe Padres first 5, perhaps on a run line where you can take a half a run plus like $1.10, $1.15-ish, or if you want to go ahead and take them on the money line, you can do that. I think Weathers is going to go a little bit deeper tonight. Then 3 innings, maybe he goes 4 or goes into the 5th. He has not been really extended as much as of late or really to start the season. But Dodgers against lefties, you know, not exactly killing it, not bad by any stretch. But you saw against Seattle the other day, they only scored 1 run and had 2 hits off Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah, so it's Weathers tonight. He's going to be, what do you think, a 3 or 4 inning guy tops?
Probably for now. Now, I'll be interested to see if they extend him a little bit more because the bullpen had to pitch a lot yesterday. Denilson Lamet did leave after 2 innings with a forearm injury, so you wonder how that's going to materialize, at least in this start. We know Bellinger's out for the Dodgers with calf injury. Mookie Betts looks like he's going to go. Got hit on the forearm the other night, so it looks like he is going to be in the lineup for Dodger Blue.
Yeah, it was a scary situation. When Betts got hit by that pitch, I thought, man, that hit you right on a spot on the forearm where you could have a broken bone, and he could be out for a while, but Mookie was okay. So Ryan Weathers, the lefty, goes for the Padres tonight against the Dodgers and Walker Buehler. That's at Dodger Stadium at Circus Sports. Dodgers minus 165, total of 7.5. From the Circa downtown Las Vegas, let's bring in Derek Stevens and Mike Palm right now. And I want to ask you guys, what type of feedback have you received on your sponsorship of the Padres in the 9th inning? I love it when I watch these Padres games and I see Circa, and I see Stadium Swim behind home plate. I assume you've had a lot of positive feedback from this so far.
Yeah, we have. It's been great. You know, we've had a couple of bad beats. We haven't got our first walk-off yet, and I thought tonight would have been a great game, Dodgers-Padres, but, you know, they're on the road, so we're not going to get full value tonight. But overall, it's been a lot of fun, overall, it's been real good.
What's your read, Derek, so far on the Padres? They're 10-10. They've lost some close games. They've had a tough schedule early, but and it's a small sample size, but the Padres not playing as well as they want to so far. Dodgers are 14-4 going into tonight's game. And Fernando Tatis has got to pick it up. I think he's batting about 120 right now. But again, it's 20 games into a long baseball season.
Yeah, that's the way you got to look at it. 20 games into a long baseball season. Boy, Tatis has been something. You know, defensively is one thing, and then offensively he hasn't done much yet. But like you said, long season. But getting swept by the Brewers here. God, did they leave? I mean, bases loaded, nobody out yesterday. Can't get a run in. Unbelievable how many people they've left on base. So they have they've struggled. So Mike Palm is obviously coming out with his pro Dodgers position looking very, very strong.
Well, I don't think the sample size is too small, Maddie. I mean, this is a mentally fragile, poorly managed team, the Padres. And I'd like to fade them. I'm trying to find a number somewhere to fade them not to make the playoffs here. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is Tingler doing? Lamet's never going to go more than four yesterday anyhow. So he's going to have to go deep into the bullpen, right? And now you got this four-game set with the Dodgers coming up. They don't hit the contact at all. Bases loaded, as Derek said. Three strikeouts. Can't put the ball in play. If you're going to play Tatis and Kim, you ought to play Tatis in second. Kim's 100 times better shortstop. I don't like this team at all. There'll be a lot of ninth innings. They're not going to make the playoffs. Bottom of the ninth. That's good for Derek. Bad beat, of course. Musgrove throws a no-hitter on the road. But then Andy Dufresne here recovers with the Betts catch on Saturday night in the pitcher's duel that a million people watch the replays of. So he always somehow finds a way here.
Strong opinion from Mike Palm there on the Padres. I tend to agree with you. I was looking at the Padres before the season. I try to look for reasons why that team might disappoint. And I thought Jace Tingler, for one thing, as a manager, is probably in over his head with a team like this and high expectations. I don't think he's done a real good job up to this point. He would be the fall guy if things don't turn around for the Padres pretty soon. What about the Dodgers, Mike? Have you seen anything you don't like at all in the Dodgers? I mean, they're 14-4. There's not much not to like. And let's flip it to the American League too, because you got the Yankees in action tonight. They are 6-11, and I really didn't like the. I wasn't crazy about the way this Yankees team was constructed before the season. And again, we're talking about a manager I'm not crazy about in Aaron Boone.
Well, let's start with the Dodgers. Okay. I want somebody to put up a prop. And if I knew a bookmaker, I'd talk to one on the Dodgers. I'd like them to put up two props. Over under win total 116.5, right? So if they won 117, they'd break the Mariners record. And then the other one, what will be the Dodgers' longest losing streak this year? I think the number should be 3.5 to garner close to equal action. Look at that rotation. If Kershaw is good, if Kershaw returns to form, and you saw him pitch like a decade ago Saturday night when he was in San Diego, I mean, there's just no weak spots in the rotation. I mean, this Urias might be the best of all of them. They finally took the training wheels off this guy. I text my friend Royce Cohen, he's a VP for the Dodgers, when Kenley Jensen blew that game in Oakland that Bauer started, right? And I said, enough with Jensen, enough. Put May in as your closer. He's like Lamet with San Diego. He's unhittable the first time through the lineup. Yeah. He's going to come in and throw 100 miles an hour. He doesn't know how to pitch yet. And then, you know, you could have Price be the fifth starter. You know, you don't have to eat innings with that fifth starter because Bueller's going to eat innings. Bauer's going to eat innings. Urias is going to eat innings. You know, Gonsolin's coming back. He might be your fifth starter. I just didn't like it. 2 days later, they had Price closing. So it was close to my idea.
I think your idea is better, and I actually said the same thing without talking to you about it 2 weeks ago. I said May should be the closer. Jansen's not going to survive the season in that role. David Price is not a closer. That's not a long-term solution. I thought that was an unnecessary experiment by the Dodgers. Just put Dustin May in that role. Mike Palm's got the right idea there. Okay, I love your two prop ideas too, and hopefully Matt Metcalf or somebody can put those up. Maybe the guys at the South Point have put it up. Wes? If that prop were up, would you bet the Dodgers over 116.5 on wins? And how about the longest losing streak Mike talked about, 3.5.
I don't know if I would bet over 116.5, largely because, look, you're starting to see the injuries already. Bellinger's going to be out a little while. Betts, of course, is going to come back from getting hit on the forearm. But eventually, at some point, too, you wonder how liberal Dave Roberts is going to be in terms of giving days off. Like, let's say they've got a huge lead in late August, early September, where all of a sudden, okay, when they can call some guys up and expand the rosters a little bit, do they give some guys some reps before they go to the playoffs? I mean, you're not going to rest guys for 2-3 weeks at a time, but you're going to maybe give some more days off with these guys and let your reserves play a little bit more, I think, late in the season.
All right, let's talk NFL for a minute, and I'll ask you guys about the NFL draft, but first, how about this rule change in the NFL designed to allow the kicking team a better chance to recover onside kicks? So now you can have no more than 9 players lined up in the setup zone, where it was 10 or 11 previously. And Derek, Mike, either of you guys have an opinion on this rule change in the NFL?
I like it. Okay. Because, you know, onside kicks just don't work. They're not any fun to watch. So I think this will liven it up a little bit. You know, having to have two guys 25 yards off of the ball, that just changes things up. Makes a little more space out there, and maybe we'll have a few more successful onside kicks. The one thing I still don't get, and I brought it up to Coach the other day, how can we not have a better onside kick strategy? Think out of the box. Look at these guys in soccer, 12 yards away. They're putting this up in a little corner. I mean, they're nailing it. How can you not take a football 10 yards away from someone bigger than me, and maybe not even faster than me? How can you not just bend it right there and drill somebody? I just don't get that. There's got to be a better way to have an onside kick. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think this is a good start. We'll see what happens.
Mike, is there a better way to do the onside kick?
I don't know. You know, they really, I think, seriously considered taking the kick out, and you get the 4th-and-15 play to maintain possession, but teams were so concerned about defensive pass interference in that spot. Maybe if you put the rule in that if you had a defensive pass interference, then it becomes 4th-and-5 on the next play, that you didn't just get the ball back. Mm-hmm. That would have swayed some people. I think the kick is silly. I would have rather done something like 4th-and-15. I think that would make it more exciting.
Well, one way or another, any change is probably a good change. Yeah. So I agree with your thought on that as well.
That's right. Okay, how about the NFL draft? You talked to Matt Metcalf and your guys back there about the type of action you were drawing on the draft, because 2017 was the first year Nevada Gaming Control Board approved a very limited draft prop menu. And now this thing is taking off, and Circus Sports is right up there with any other book in terms of the most props posted on the NFL draft. So, Derek, Mike, have you guys talked to Metcalf about the type of betting action this is attracting?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Matt and CB. I said, hey, you know, the NFL draft's coming to Las Vegas next year. So we have to use this draft as really an opportunity to learn a little bit so we could be very prepared a year from now. So these guys went to work, and next thing you know, they're posting so many of these draft numbers. My whole thing on this thing is I just think we're going to get, as a book, we're going to get smoked. You see some of these line moves? I mean, there's one thing. This is going to be an expensive learning curve for us. I mean, look at what's going on. Like, take Justin Fields. What was he? -1. We're up to -280 right now.
Well, Kellen Mond was 171. He's down to 90 or 80. It just keeps going down. Davis Mills, the Stanford quarterback, had a 60 spot move. I mean, maybe that's not significant. It's like a round, right? But we'll see. Maybe we're right on all this, and the Steve is wrong.
Yeah, I know. Not too many bookmakers in Vegas enjoy putting this up because they've been beat on this. I know Chris Andrews at South Point City has not made a dollar on the NFL draft yet in 3 years of having it up. Hey, I want to come down to Circus Saturday night for UFC. Mike, the last time you set up Randy McKay and I with a great spot there at the Bar Canada at the D for the UFC. What do you guys have planned this Saturday night for the UFC 261?
So we've shifted it from the Bar Canada at the D, which, by the way, just a tremendous place to watch sports, still my favorite, to the third floor unfinished ballroom space, which we kind of call the warehouse internally here. And that's where we've been showing it the last couple weeks, and we're going to show it this Saturday. There's just a lot bigger capacity, right? We can put 1,000 people up there. still with 50% restrictions. I mean, it's an unfinished space.
Yeah, Mike, realize we bought the 250 person package.
Oh, okay. Well, we can put 250. I'm not really tuned in here to the financials or what we're doing here, but and the DirecTV and pay per view and all those legalities. But yeah, you guys come down. We'll set you up with a nice seat, and we had a good crowd even for this really non-event last week. That was just more of an entertainment event.
Well, the last time I was up in that room, Derek was up there. We were hanging out and having a few drinks. Mm. And Derek said, go to the head up to the bar and grab a bucket of Budweiser. So I went up there, and the bartender said, sorry, man, don't have any Budweiser back here. So I walked out, and Derek said, where's the beer? I said, he told me there's no Budweiser. Derek walks back, and the bartender hands over two buckets of Budweiser that were saved specifically for Derek Stevens back there. So I guess you have to know somebody. It helps to have connections, right?
Hey, we're always learning here, Matt. We'll have Budweiser this weekend. We're going to need a lot of it, too, because we're charging $75 for the fight, and it's all the beer you can drink. So we're only selling 250 tickets, about half sold. We expect it to sell out. So $75 up to the day before, $100 at the door, and all the beer you can drink.
Derek really anticipated these supply chain issues before anybody else. He was ahead of the curve. He protected his Budweiser.
He's ahead of the curve on most things. Mike, let's we wrap it up last 30 seconds. So what do you have tonight, the Palm Reader's playbook? Anything left you can recommend?
Well, I'm against I didn't put this in the playbook. I played Savali here. I mean, not that the Tribe's doing anything. They're hitting 209. The Yankees are hitting 207. And I went under. I know West is over. I went under first 5, 4.5, Giants, Marlins, two teams that really don't hit the ball. And a tough park. This game was 8.5 earlier. Strange in a night game in San Francisco.
All right. We'll see you guys Saturday. Appreciate the time as always. Mike Palm, Derek Stevens from Circa, downtown Las Vegas. Back in a couple minutes here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds.
Okay, Wes, the Zurich Classic in New Orleans this week is a unique golf event, one that I hate for betting purposes. This is the second week in a row I have not bet $1 on golf. That'll be the last time that happens this year. I bet golf basically every week. Last week took the week off, and this week I'm not involved at all. I thought about playing the team of Homa and Gooch, that you and Brady and Stephen Hennessy and Paige Spiranek. And on
when,
and on.
When
and on.
Everybody's They're lined on. Up, though, they disappoint. And so far, Homa and Gooch. Only 3 under today, tied for 54th. One thing to keep in mind about
80 teams, right?
Yes, 80 teams. So 35 make the weekend here. One thing to keep in mind as well, this is the four-ball format that you see when both players play and you take the best score, basically, that one of the two players posts. So you get this format not only today but also on Saturday for the third round. But then tomorrow for the second round on Friday and also on Sunday to close out the event, that's when you go to foursomes, which is the alternate shot format. One player hits it off the tee, next player hits the next shot, and then it alternates back and forth. Alternate shot is usually where you really win this event. I think John Rahm and Ryan Palmer, when they won this event a couple years ago because they didn't have it in 2020 for obvious reasons, they led the field in alternate shot. So that's essentially why they were able to win this event. And look, a lot of things I did this week, it is very hard if you're like a modeler or you rely a lot on stats. You can look at the same stats that you can look at any regular stroke play event every week. Strokes gained approach, strokes gained putting, greens and regulation. Those are going to apply pretty much wherever you go on tour. So looked a little bit at that. But I basically like to go with guys that maybe have a comfort level. And you kind of see it at least through day one on the leaderboard. It looks like Victor Hovland and Chris Ventura, the Team Norway and also Team Oklahoma State, who were the two teammates on the 2018 Oklahoma State NCAA championship team. Matthew Wolf, by the way, was also on that team. 10 under 62 for the four ball for Hovland and Ventura. They are your leaders. Cameron Champ and Tony Finau right behind, 9 under par. Billy Horschel and Sam Burns, very popular this week because Sam Burns is an LSU guy. They are, of course, just outside of New Orleans here, so a little bit of a home game. Billy Ho has also won this event individually, so they are 9 under. Keegan Bradley, Brendan Steele, 9 under. They may struggle a little bit in the alternate shot, though, too, because it's like they got to set it up to where Brendan Steele does all the putting and Keegan Bradley never has to pull it out of the bag, because that's where he really struggles, as Charlie Hoffman and Nick Watney just got a birdie on 18, so they are now 8 under par. I've got a couple guys that have done okay. Team Boilermaker, Purdue, Tyler Duncan, Adam Schenck, 8 under par, so two back, tied for 7th. Danny Willett, Tyrrell Hatton, 7 under par. And then I've got some guys here on the back nine just trying to finish up. But don't panic if you're a few shots out of the lead here, if you took a couple different pairings here and they're maybe like 6 under, 5 under day one, because alternate shot is really where this wins. So you're going to get a lot of up and a lot of down on this leaderboard. But right now, who's up is Victor Hovland and Chris Ventura, 10 under par.
How about the team of Shoffley and Cantlay? That was a those guys were favored, right?
They were co-favorites with Rahm and Palmer, and I believe Rahm and Palmer at 6 under par. Not sure if they finished their round yet. I think they might have one or two holes left to play. But Cantlay and Shoffley, 8 under. We know Xander, obviously, last time out, had that almost gotten that back door. Matsuyama kind of cracked the door a little bit, and then Xander plunked one in the water on 16, but another near miss at a major. Patrick Cantlay has really not been in good form of late. Missed the cut at the Masters, missed the cut at the RBC, but 8 under par today. Also, Bubba Watson, Scotty Scheffler, 8 under par. Charlie Hoffman, Nick Watney, Louis Oosthuizen, and Charles Schwartzel at 8 under. Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, Team Aussie, who I believe were the third choice on the board at 12-1. They are still with a couple holes left to play. So a lot of movement, a good field this week for this event, even though there's no Masters invitation for the winner. But some guys playing for two-year PGA Tour exemptions, so you got a very good field down in New Orleans.
Yeah, I cannot touch the Shoffley Cantlay team this week. Cantlay's frustrated me. I'm done with that guy. I'm sure you're going to find plenty of spots to jump in with him. At some point, I'll come back with Xander Shoffley. But his choke job in the Masters was just too much. He blew up on the front nine when he had a chance to seize control, and Matsuyama was a little bit shaky. Then he gets within two on the back, puts it right in the water.
He just makes a mistake at the wrong time, but he's getting close in a lot of these, and eventually he's going to kick the door in.
That's what they said about Ricky Fowler, too. How's he doing?
He's not doing.
All right, let's talk top NBA and baseball games tonight, followed by Lou Finicaro on UFC.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds.
All right, Wes, I have a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better for the Yankees. And actually, this game today is off to a bad start. Already, Indians lead 1-0 with two runners on, and I believe only one out. So it's a rough beginning so far for Domingo Germán and the Yankees.
Yeah, Savali walked two for the Pinstripes, or for the Indians, in the top of the first. Yankees couldn't get anybody home. And now already a couple hits here for the Indians as it's 1-0. Runners on the corner, one out. Indians have not been very good against right-handed pitching. Maybe they found the right guy, at least an early start. But Savali did walk two in the first inning. So little bit of sign of concern, even though you've got a 1-0 lead for the Tribe.
Okay, let's look at some games tonight. Mets and Cubs at Wrigley. Cubs have won the past two. Trevor Williams on the mound, a slight favorite tonight. Circa's got the Cubs minus 109, total 9.5.
Yeah, I really didn't know what to do here. Kind of lean to the over. Both of these teams have not been scoring runs, although the Mets did score plenty last night. Just all the position players have been underperforming. Lindor finally went yard last night, but he had been batting under 200. Pete Alonso had not been hitting. Conforto had not been hitting. Jeff McNeil has not been hitting. But really, the Cubs have not been hitting either. They're a big swing and miss team in Major League Baseball.
Cubs were hitting last night.
Yeah, it was last night.
Other than last night, they've not been hitting much.
Yeah, 16-4 over the New York Mets last night. Joey Lucchese, you wonder how long he is going to go. He's kind of been the long relief, maybe short starter role, so he may only go about four innings tonight against the Chicago Cubs. I think before last night, the Mets were averaging like 3.14 runs or something like that, and the Cubs were only at 3.38, so... You know, at full strength, the Cubs can be above average in terms of the offense. Oh, as boy. Domingo Germán boots a pitch hit right back to him and couldn't decide where to go, couldn't gather the ball. So runner scores now.
Franmil Reyes hit a little league ground ball right back to Germán. He bobbled it, did nothing with it.
It might be time for Boone to go out and have a talk with Domingo Germán and settle him down if that's possible. On the Cubs side, Trevor Williams has been a little bit better. Last year when he was with Pittsburgh, 6.18 ERA. This season he's a little bit better. He's got a lower xFIP than the ERA. So he's had a little bit of rotten luck, but I think he's going to be better, at least in Chicago. Should pitch better here. Lean a little bit to the over, but some of these guys have got to perform better long-term for the Cubs. Bryant and Contreras have actually been solid, but Happ, Rizzo, Baez, Jock Peterson's been dreadful. Mm-hmm. Jason Hayward has not been good, so we were kind of down on the Cubs preseason.
Who expected Jason Hayward to hit? That's what I want to know.
Right.
Who expected that?
Right. He's still in that lineup, though, but the Cubs did get the money so far. They opened as like 115 dogs. You're now seeing him at like minus 112. So Cubs are getting the money. Maybe that's because they expect Lucchese only to go a few innings.
Who else has not been hitting? Francisco Lindor. And he finally hit his first homer for the Mets last night.
And that's kind of to be expected a little bit, because now you're in a different league. You go from the American League to the National League. It's new pitching. The pitchers, I think, when you see somebody for the first time, more often than not, I think the pitchers are going to have the advantage against the hitters, and it's up to the hitter to make the adjustment. I think Lindor eventually will, but when you've been hitting in the American League your entire career and you switch to the National League, there is an adjustment. You've seen that so far.
Okay, how about you've got to play on this game, Marlins and Giants in San Francisco, Daniel Castano against Aaron Sanchez. Giants minus 146, total of 8.
Yeah, I went against what my numbers were kind of telling me here, because the Giants, I mentioned, have been very bad against left-handed pitching, at least so far, only averaging about 3.5 runs total at home for the season out in San Francisco. But this could be the get-right spot, I felt, for the offense, because, look, they saw Castano last week, and he pitched very well, but maybe that second time when you see that lefty, you can get a little bit better, and I think maybe make the adjustments from that standpoint. Both of these pitchers look like they're due a little bit for negative regression. Castano, 180 on the ERA, but 567 on the xFIP. That is a huge adjustment. Same with Aaron Sanchez, 245 on the ERA, 409 on the xFIP, as Aaron Sanchez really isn't a guy that gets a lot of strikeouts anymore. He's trying to turn into more of a ground ball pitcher. His fastballs, if you remember when he was kind of in his prime, he was at 98 miles an hour and was about 93 last year. And now it's looked really slow. His fastball is barely topping above 90 miles an hour. He's throwing the curveball more than ever, but the curveball has been pretty darn good as they're only hitting 194 against him.
Very detailed analysis. Nice job. We've talked a lot about the Padres Dodgers. So let's move on to Mariners Red Sox in Boston, Justin Dunn and Nick Pavetta. Red Sox minus 165, total of 9.5 at Fenway.
Yeah, certainly the two early season overachievers, really, with these two teams. And, you know, hitting has been kind of mediocre for Seattle, but yet, despite that fact, they've only lost one series this season. They've beaten the Twins in a series. They've beaten the Astros in a series. They split two at the Dodgers. Mariners actually are at a minus 3 run differential. Second worst among the division leaders. Red Sox plus 30 in run differential this year. So they have been the overachiever, and maybe people are kicking dirt on their grave too quickly. The pitching, you know, the Red Sox are what they are. They're going to have to win their fair amount of games, 7-6 or 8-7. But JD Martinez is top five in the majors in home runs, runs, RBI, slugging, et cetera, et cetera. So Justin Dunn, I don't think, is going to slow down this offense. And Nick Pivetta, look, he's just kind of got to be okay. The bullpen has actually been a little bit better for Boston. Matt Barnes is back to his 2019 form. So lean over. If you want to play like a team total here, maybe lean over with the Red Sox team total instead of laying about 170 on the money line. That'd probably be the way I would go here.
Okay. Yankees almost mishandled an infield pop-up. If the Yankees play any worse, their uniforms are going to be sponsored by Chico's Bail Bond.
we are off to a great start. Or maybe the old what was the guy that they used to run those commercials on the Yes Network? Giuseppe Franco?
Yeah.
Remember the hair guy, the hair products? But the pinstripes not looking good. Domingo Herman, a lot of pitches, 23 here in this inning, has already allowed three runs.
And the defense has been weak. Part of it's his fault. Indians 3-0 with two outs, bottom of the first, and two runners on. Angels and Astros in Houston, Alex Cobb, Christian Javier. Quick analysis here with the Astros, minus 120, total at 9.
Alex Cobb has been averaging about 13 strikeouts per 9 innings, but small lean a little bit to the Astros. They are starting to get some hitters back due to COVID-19. Altuve is still on the quarantine list, but Astros getting a little bit more healthier at the plate.
All right, a quick look at the NBA one more time. And UFC 261 with Lou Finocchiaro on deck. Stay tuned for that here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And I'm Danielle Alvari with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem in Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. In Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. In Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. And in Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, we'll talk a little NBA betting here at the very end of the show, but let's bring in Lou Finocchiaro, at GamLou on Twitter. VSiN's UFC senior analyst. Can we call him a senior analyst?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's do it. UFC 261 is going to be Saturday night in Jacksonville. We're going to have fans back in the event, and I'm going to be down at Circa downtown to watch this. Lou, I was hoping you'd be there, but you're not going to be up in Vegas this weekend, I guess, right?
Well, I'm sorry I'm going to miss it, actually, now that I know the gang's all going to assemble, but I'm sure you'll have fun without me. You'll do your best, I'm sure.
Well, this is a classic Lou Finocchiaro quote. I pulled this out of his column in Point Spread Weekly this week, and it's on the main event. Well, I think I think this is a very intriguing fight, just because a lot of public bettors are going to like Jorge Masvidal here. And Kamaru Usman dominated the first fight, and Lou Finocchiaro thinks the second fight's going to go much the same way the first fight did. Here's Lou's quote out of his column in PSW. Jorge Masvidal is a world-class fighter and has been his whole life. However, after gaining recent riches, he has begun to sip champagne, wear Gucci robes, and travel first class, which are tells of longevity for some pros, but surely not for anyone involved in championship-level mixed martial arts. Masvidal is about the brand and the money now, not the fighting. Lou, I've heard you say this before. I love this angle. when you're looking at a guy like Masvidal, who's popular with the public, but you don't think he's the blue-collar street fighter. He doesn't have that same mentality that he used to have that got him to prominence in the UFC.
No, what I would say, Matt, is that he is that same guy. However, he's smart enough and deft enough to be able to realize he's absolutely at the pinnacle right now of his earning capability. He is going to flex his earnings maximum, pull that money out. Just today it was announced he's starting some pro fight league. Masvidal's mind is on investments and money and everything except being in the octagon. Those are distractions for him. That said, if anyone's prepared to survive five rounds with this monster Usman, it's Jorge Masvidal, just because of his pedigree and his history. The guy is a tough professional fighter. However, he's a tough professional 155 or 160-pound fighter. Mm-hmm. Usman will be a buck 92, buck 94, come fight night, and he's all championship bad intention wrestler, and he's angry at Masvidal.
All right, so what's the best way to bet this? If you think Usman's going to dominate like he did the first time around, he's a $4 favorite at BetMGM. We're looking at the prices on the screen right now. Masvidal plus 310. Lou, when did you play this, or how would you recommend playing this at the current numbers?
Haven't played it yet, and so there's two avenues of pursuit, Matt. We go the Usman via decision minus 135. That brings your liability way down. However, I think Usman is focused and focused/upset, and so for me, I'm more tempted at the Usman inside the distance, which right now at the circus plus 310. Five-round fight, that's maybe where I would be tempted to go.
And when you're talking about Masvidal, Lou, in terms of his investments, he's got to see that the guy that he starched about a year and a half ago or so, Ben Askren, just made $500K off that Triller Fight Club thing for the weekend.
What
so,
a joke.
Yeah, absolutely. Made $500K to come in that kind of a shape. And really, his doctor recommended he didn't fight, but he went ahead and did it anyway and cashed that $500,000. So I'm with you in terms of Masvidal's mindset. But let's go to the women's strawweight title bout. That is the co-main event in Jacksonville this weekend. It is Zhang, the champion, minus about 2.25 is what I'm seeing, kind of in that range, against Thug Rose Namajunas, plus 175. Rose just had two fights with Jessica Andrade where she split him. She was knocked out by a slam, but then got back on the horse and got a split decision last time out. Rose has been talking a little bit, kind of playing the nationalist angle a little bit against the Chinese champion here, Zhang. Where do you see this fight going?
I see this fight as being one of three or four of the best fights of the evening, mostly this one because of its stylistic matchup. Namajunas being the more athletic, deft-moving fighter that must have distance in order to utilize her height and length and reach and keep the raging bull, the charging forward, pressing striker, profusely powerful striker, who is Weili Zhang, off of her. And so I think this fight's going to be fascinating, especially now we're back in the big octagon, and these are 115-pound ladies, so there's going to be plenty of room for Rose to move around. And I think for three rounds, it's going to work very well. But at the end of the day, I think the forward pressure of Zhang and what she did coming off of Joanna, I think it's just a matter of time before she breaks Rose, and it's no disrespect to Rose, who is a great champion and a great fighter, but this is a different level here, and I think Zhang eventually finishes Rose. I think that in order to take Zhang from maybe minus 200, you take her to go inside the distance. Again, at circa, that's plus 200. So you have options here on how you want to use it. Myself, I'll be using Weili Zhang in a parlay with another fighter on the card.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because I was talking with AJ, Tony Miller's nephew, AJ Kaplan.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I thought you know. Yeah, I know you know him as well. Well, he was talking. He was recommending parlays on this with the favorites and parlaying Usman with Zhang or something in that neighborhood. So if you don't want to lay those big prices, that might be an idea at the top of the card. Lou, go ahead and give us some of your best bets on the rest of the card. This is a big card, and this is going to be a good night of fights in the UFC on Saturday.
Really good night of fights. Let's finish the thought with the parlay of Zhang. Down the line, there's Brendan Allen fighting Carl Roberson. Roberson, tall, quick, lightning fast, precision power striker, has to have this fight remain on the feet. Allen just got starched really bad by another long, lanky striker, Sean Strickland, and he's a grappler, and he lost his way a little bit thinking that he could strike. He's now back to realizing he has to put food on the table for his family. He's regrouped. He's absolutely going to wrestle, and so we'll be in peril with Brendan Allen, who's the minus 150 or so favorite right now. We'll be in peril with him for a round until he figures out how to clasp on to Roberson. Once he does, though, this fight's going down, and I'm very confident Allen's in a good spot here.
Are you going to be on the Follow the Money show in the morning?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. How many releases are you going to have on this card, Lou?
I'm probably going to have four, maybe five, and you know, you'll get three or four of them. Now, there's also, guys, there's two fights that really are contingent upon weight, and I won't even have that information by the time I talk to the guys tomorrow because I'm on with them at 6 Pacific, and the weigh-ins start at 6. So one of those fighters is a local Chinese fighter shipping in to fight a kid named Molina. Molina is from a hot gym. He's currently gone from the underdog to the favorite, and that's the move I like here. He's 23 years old, but the Chinese fighters are, I think we're going to see an influx of talent from the Chinese. I think they've been holding back. This kid's 27 years old, a little larger, much more experienced, and I think he's going to be in a very good position. Ti Liang, currently plus 100. The issue with him is that he's a 155-pound fighter going to 45, and I want to make sure he makes weight and everything looks good on the scale before I make him official.
All right. Follow him on Twitter, @GamLou, and listen to him. Watch him tomorrow morning on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard. Lou, appreciate the time as always, man, and we're going to follow your plays again this weekend.
Good luck, guys, and thank you for having me on. Sure appreciate it.
You always, bet, Lou.
Always great to have Lou Finocchiaro on. Wes, last look at the top NBA games on the card tonight. We're going to start with Suns-Celtics with Phoenix laying 1.5 at Boston, total of 221.
Yeah, and you're seeing a couple twos out there. Jaylen Brown is not going to go for Boston tonight. Robert Williams, Evan Fournier also out. Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart were battling a little bit of an illness, so they are going to be back. Basically 1.5-2 in the market. Kind of lean Boston here in this spot. Maybe not the best spot for Phoenix because they've already won two games on the road. Milwaukee and Philadelphia now a little drop in class. Would at least lean a little bit from the Suns standpoint.
Okay.
Or Celtics, rather.
How about the Sixers? Off a tough game last night on the road against the Bucks. And this number right now, 7 at Circus Sports. Milwaukee -7, total 225.
And some 6.5s in the market, too. Tobias Harris is going to go ahead and start tonight, so it looks like Philadelphia basically is missing Ben Simmons. I didn't get involved in this. What I may do here in a couple minutes is actually play the under at 225.5.
All right, we started the show talking about Anthony Davis' return to the Lakers, so let's end it there. Dallas Mavericks, solid 3-point home favorites across the board against the Lakers tonight, total of 216.
Probably a stay away on the side. I want to see how many minutes AD goes tonight and would maybe lean a little bit with the under, but likely not getting involved.
All right, great job today, Wes. On tomorrow's show, Kenny White, JVT, and a lot more back tomorrow. Up next, Danny Burke, Rush Hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.